question was asked, are penguins kosher? So we will have a special class quickly going over the halachas of what are kosher fowl, kosher birds. It is one siman in Shulchan Aruch, siman pei bet, in Yoredea, simanei of toho, the signs of a pure bird. So we will not know halacha from learning this. You can't learn halacha by just learning Shulchan Aruch. But we'll get a picture. We'll get an overview. We'll have a little bit of a picture of what's going on. So Shulchan Aruch writes, simanei of toho, lo nitparshu min haTorah. In the Torah, it does not say what are the signs of the kosher bird. Right? Ela, but rather, the Torah, mana minin tmin, Torah tells us what are the non-kosher birds. The Torah lists it. Et ha-nishel ve-ha-peres ve-ha-ozniya ve-ha-da'a lemina. Right? Torah lists them. Doesn't tell us these are the signs of kosher birds. The Torah tells us here are the 24 birds that are not kosher. V'sh'al minei ha'of mutarim. And the Torah is basically telling you every other bird is kosher. And what are the species of birds that are prohibited? 24. That's Shulchan Aruch is quoting Rambam. That first paragraph was Rambam. Next paragraph. Anyone who knows what are those 24 species and their names, he's allowed to eat any other bird. He doesn't have to start checking it. Is it kosher? You know the 24 non-kosher. Every other bird is kosher. Now, it has to be a bird. You know, some things run the border. You know, you asked me about a penguin. I said jokingly, does it have split hooves? Well, what about animals that go on dry land and in the water? What about a sea lion, a sea dog, etc.? A frog, right? When does something become vermin? When does it shift from being a bird to vermin or sherets? Okay, but assuming it's clear that it's foul. So if you know those 24 and their names, you could eat any other bird and you don't have to check beyond that because you know which 24 are not kosher. Ve'of tahor ne'echal b'masoret, says the Shulchan Aruch. And we will see a Ramah on this later on. The Ramah does not comment right away. The Shulchan Aruch begins by telling us, if you have a tradition that this bird is kosher, you're allowed to eat it. My grandmother told me that in Europe they all ate duck. I never ate duck. I didn't know Jews eat duck. I didn't know if duck was kosher. Then my grandmother told me, sure, we in Poland we all ate duck. So now I know ducks are kosher. I didn't know that. Of tahor nechal b'masoret. A kosher bird can be eaten based on tradition. If you have a tradition, that's a kosher bird. It has to be that in this area, everyone knows that that's a kosher bird. And a hunter is believed when he says, my hunter Rebbe, Rebbe is really when you would apprentice, so the master was called Rebbe. So he says, my master hunter, the hunter under which I apprenticed, taught me that this bird is kosher. Assuming that that hunter is known, that he really understands which birds are not kosher. What are their names? But let's say you're a regular citizen. You don't know the 24 non-kosher birds. You don't know the names of the non-kosher birds. So then you check the signs. And on this, we have a divergence between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, as we will see down the road. The Ramah is not yet commenting where he disagrees. Down the road, the Ramah will comment. So we're going to hear out the Shulchan Aruch before the Ramah says where he disagrees. So what we're reading now is not exactly accurate for Ashkenazim. It's not at all accurate for Ashkenazim. And we'll discuss the details in a minute. Okay, what are the signs that make a bird kosher? Number one, kolov shu dores ve'ochel. Any bird that sticks its claws into something live, and the way a vulture swoops down on its prey and then consumes them, so then you know that that bird is not kosher. Okay? If it's a predator that attacks and kills its prey the way a vulture does with its claws, that's called dores. Dores is classically what animals do when they pounce on their prey. So when you have a bird that pounces on its prey and then consumes it, So you know that that bird is from the non-kosher animals. And if you don't know, so you can do a test. Have the bird stand on a string. Place it down on a string. Place it down on a thin string. And then you see, if it is choleket raglav, if the way it splits its feet over a string is two fingers to each side of the string, or if you see it catching things in the air and eating them, the way a bat does, right? A bat catches flies in the air and eats them. And then you know that, that one of those two signs tells you that it is a predator. But if you know that it is not a predator, so then that was step one. First test we check, is this bird a predator? Does it hunt its prey? Does it claw them and kill them? Next, we need another three signs. There are three more signs of that make it kosher. Number one, etzma yetera. If it has another finger, it has front fingers and a back finger. That's number one. Vizefek, if it has a crop, vikukivano niklaf bayad. And the kurkivan, which is another part of the digestive tract, if you can peel them by hand, so then that's a sign that it is a kosher bird. If it's a non-kosher bird, then it's zefek and kurkivan, which are two stages. It's the crop and the stage after the crop in the digestive tract. If you have to take a knife to peel them, so then then it's a non-kosher bird. Haya chazak umdubak. Let's say you want to check if this bird is kosher, and it's very tough to peel. And after you left it in the sun a little bit, after you slaughtered the bird, you took out its digestive tract, you let it sit in the sun, and then after that you could peel it, so then it's still kosher. So even though you have these three signs, says the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ochlo, you still shouldn't eat the bird. Because we suspect, maybe even after everything, maybe it still is a predator. You just didn't see it. Unless you have a tradition. Again, this is Rambam. Okay? So he says you have all these signs, but at the end of the day, it would be better to have a tradition. Okay? That this is a kosher bird. I don't know of anyone that says about penguins that they have a tradition that they're a kosher bird. Not aware of that. Let's finish. Yesh omrim shekol ov shechutimo rachav vekaf raglo rechava keshel avaz. Some say that any bird that has a wide beak, like a duck, and its feet are wide, like a duck, then you could know that such a bird is not a predator. And then it would be permissible to eat if you have the other three signs in the body. Yeah? So, what we're trying to figure out is if it's a predator. Says the Rama, "V'yesh umim she'en lanu lismoch afilu al ze, v'en lechol shum uvela b'masoret shekilu bo shu tahor, v'chein noagin v'en neshanot." So the Rama says, some say nothing works. You have to have a tradition, and that's our custom, that we don't eat a single bird without tradition, and don't change. So the Shulchan Aruch began by saying that if you have these signs, it's good. And then he said, even if it has these three signs, he said, if you know it's not a predator, you could check its fingers. And then you could check these three signs. And then he said, and even so, it would be good to have a tradition. And some say it's enough that it has a wide beak and a wide foot. Rama says we don't go with anything aside from tradition. And that's why Ashkenazim don't eat turkey. Ashkenazim do eat turkey. Why do we eat turkey? No one has a tradition on turkey. Let's read the next halacha. Let's say you come from a country where no one eats turkey because they don't know what turkeys are out in Europe. And then you move to America and you discover that the Jews in America eat turkey. They say, we have a tradition, turkey's kosher. Or you're a Jew in Germany where you don't eat a single, you don't eat something you don't have tradition on, Ochunvei, no. Ah, but you go to Spain, and those Spanish Jews, when they brought back turkeys, they started looking at the turkeys, and they watched the turkeys for a decade, for two decades, and everyone knew that turkeys aren't predators. It became a known thing. So the Sephardic Jews started eating turkey. So the Ashkenazic Jews started importing turkey. They said, our neighbors, they have a tradition that turkey's kosher. Right? Our Sephardic neighbors, how long is this tradition? Oh, we won't ask. So you come from a city where no one eats this bird because they don't have a tradition. And then you go to a place where they do have a tradition. So when you're visiting Spain, if the Spaniards tell you, we have a tradition, this is kosher, you can eat their meat. Even if you're just there on a visit. But in the Spanish restaurants, they're serving turkey, okay, you can eat it. And let's say you moved from Spain to Germany, you could eat in your own house turkey. Even though in Germany no one else is eating turkey, but in your place they have a tradition. So the poskim ask, why do we eat turkey? Why do we eat turkey? No one has a tradition on turkey. And basically we don't have a good answer why we eat turkey. The answer is because we eat turkey. But we don't know why. Rav Moshe writes a tshuva and he tries to figure out why. And so Rav Herschel Schachter claims, based on some research, researchers have decided that what happened is what I just described. The researchers claim that the first people to be introduced to turkey were Sephardim. And the Sephardim, they followed the turkey and they came to a conclusion that it's not a predator. And after years and years, they decided, no problem eating turkey. So the Sephardim started eating turkey. And then Ashkenazim thought that Sephardim had a Masora. And by the time they realized that it wasn't a Masora, because no one has a Masora on turkey, right? It's a new bird. Everyone was already eating turkey. So the Shlach Kodosh, Rav Horowitz, said no eating turkey. And his descendants still today won't eat turkey. But every kashrus agency will give you kosher on turkey. Rav Rubin, Badat, Zeda, Haredis, everyone holds turkey's kosher. And Rav Moshe says, when Eliyahu HaNavi is going to show up, he's going to explain to us why we're eating turkey, or maybe he'll tell us all we're wrong and we'll stop eating turkey. That until then, we're all eating turkey. So we don't know exactly how turkey got into our diet.
Now looking back 300 years,
that's not called Masoret. We know that there's no Masoret on it. Masoret means I know I have Masoret, dating back to the Talmud, dating back to Moshe. 300 years is nothing in the Jewish people. We call a minhag nu if it's only 800 years old. What's 300 years? That's nothing. In Judaism, 300 years is nothing. By us, in order for a minhag to be considered ancient, it's got to be 2,000 years old, I'm saying. What's 300 years in Judaism? You know, it's very funny because non-Jews have things, they have objects that can be 200 years old. This is a grandfather clock my great-great-grandfather had. And Jews don't have objects that are 200 years old. You know, maybe the Yemenites can have a scroll that's 800 years old that they had. I had Yemenites friends who told me, I don't have such ancient stuff. I only have a Megillah that's 600 years old. You know, my relatives have older stuff. So the Yemenites have ancient stuff, right? They have Rambam's commentary signed by the Rambam. Right? Rav Kapach shows you a copy. He has Rambam commentary signed by the Rambam. Most Jews don't have. We don't own objects that are 600, 800 years old because, yeah, we were exiled. Where did Jews have tranquility to own an object for 600 years? It didn't happen. Non-Jews have objects. Sometimes you could be in a house, you go in Europe and people say, this house has been in my family for hundreds of years and they have stuff, and then they go into their attic and they find a penny from 300 years ago and suddenly they're a millionaire, right? Non-Jews can have that. Jews don't have that. But the flip side is, that our tradition by us, 300 years is nothing. 300 years is still a new opinion. It's not a tradition by us. What's 300 years? By us, before you hit 800 to 1,000 years, you aren't talking anything. In terms, I'm saying, what's 300 years? We don't consider that a big deal. I'm saying in terms of our tradition, in terms of our heritage. When you talk about our objects, there we're not so lucky. You know, we have up in Tzfat, we have a Sefer Torah from the Ran. That's a good 900 years old. Okay, one, but that's not like in people's homes. Okay, let's finish. We already started the Siman Shulchan Aruch, so we'll move forward. Last halacha. Can everyone else eat based on one place that has a tradition? There's he who permits, there's he who prohibits. Meaning, if there's one town that has a tradition, can everyone else, can the rest of the Jewish people start eating because they have a tradition? Two opinions, yes and no. Shulchan Aruch says it's good to be suspect of the opinion that prohibits it. So there, let's summarize what we just learned. Torah really prohibited 24 birds. If you know those 24 birds, you can eat everything else. You got to know what are those 24 birds and their names, to identify them and their names. We don't know. What do? We work based on what we have a tradition is kosher. Meaning we should have been able to eat all the birds on the planet except for 24. But what can we do? We lost our tradition on what are the 24. So now we're stuck.
Now with modern science, they can't identify those 24 birds?
Seems like not. How are you going to use modern science to figure out what da'a is? So it says, et kol orev lemino. And all the species of orev. Sounds like it's not just one raven. The Torah tells you all the species. Here the Torah specified. All the species of ravens. So that encompasses a lot. Doesn't say that about the other birds. What?
Pterodactyl.
What does that mean?
Dinosaur.
Okay, I don't know. The Torah came to encompass something.
It's quite simple. It's a predator.
But it's not... birds that are not predators are not...
No.
Okay, so there the Shulchan Aruch told us, if you don't have a tradition, so then theoretically you should be able to do all the signs to see if it's a predator or not. At the end of the day, he says... We don't necessarily rely on that. Ideally, we should have a tradition. Rama says we don't rely on it at all. There's no such thing. Only tradition, that's our custom. And if you're visiting a place that has a tradition, you could eat their birds. If you come from a place that has a tradition, you could continue eating the birds you're used to eating. Can all other cities adopt one city's tradition? Two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so we covered the laws of kosher fowl in a nutshell.